kind of come and go as we want. That's the hard thing about teaching things. I talked to somebody this week about the subject of anger. Pastor Warren preached an unbelievably good sermon on the subject of anger. Now, some of you slept through it. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. And then I realized they weren't here when I preached that. After a point, folks, you know, I can't preach the same sermon every week. Today is going to be one of those, I hope, aha moments for you. When we talk about tithing, we talk about, first of all, the tithe is the Lord, and the tithe is for the Lord's, and it doesn't make a difference which order this is. In the Old Testament, it was for the Lord's service and servants. And I'm doing this as biblically. This is from the Old Testament, of course, because that's where tithing is taught the most. So it is for the service of in the Old Testament of the temple and the servants. Specifically, it would be for this group. And this group here is a subset. The Levites were a tribe. Is that correct? Yes or no? They had a subset. And what was that subset? The priest, which had to come from which family? Aaron's family. They came from a certain descent. And those two were not exactly the same. So you had this big group called the Levites, and you had a subset called, and you see the name today, by the way, among Jewish people. I didn't write this up here to impress you that I can write Hebrew. I put this up here because Jewish people today do not know much about their descent. In the first century, as far as we know, if you were from the lineage of David or the Levites, you could still go to the temple and find your exact lineage. Other Jewish people do not have that information. That's just a fact. Today, the David part is gone, the kingly role. But believe it or not, I read a book. I read a book once in a while. They've actually traced, and it's unbelievably, out of all the Jewish people, and they pretty much know who the Jewish lineage is. If you're from Eastern Europe, you're called Ashkenazi or Ashkenazim. Unbelievably, they can still trace the DNA of the priestly family. It's pretty pure. You say, what is this name? Cohen. So if you ever see a Cohen, or if you're smart enough to know, anything that has this letter, and this letter. Because Hebrew really has three letters for anything. The other stuff is added. That is the Hebrew word for high priest or priest, the priestly family. And yes, they still trace their roots back to the Cohen family, or the Kohanim, plural. Okay? Now, you just read a verse that I guarantee you don't have a clue what it's talking about. It's one of those verses that doesn't communicate in English because of the poor King James translation. So let's read it again. Let him, that would be, who's the him? Yeah. Let him, he's writing to the people in Galatia, him or her that is taught in the word, communicate, which means to share, but share what? Smiles? No, communicate unto him that teacheth. So you actually have two, you know, you got two people here. You have the teacher, and you have, if I can say this, the taught. Or you could say the students. And the students have a responsibility towards those who teach. They have a responsibility, it says in the text anyhow, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Let me summarize that in modern English. By the way, it's much better in Greek. We'll look at it later. It's much more important. There's a word there that's found twice that's very important, but it's simply this. You support pastors. That's all it's telling you to do. Okay? In your notes, we said last week the tithe is the Lord's. Number two, and this is on the next page, in the Old Testament, the tithe is for the Lord's servants and service. And I don't care which direction you take that. Now, why is that? Frenchie, before we go any farther, Frenchie's been in church for nearly 40 years, maybe has been 40 years. Why in the Old Testament was the tithe have to come to the Levites. Don't read the Bible. This should be obvious knowledge to you. Why did the other tribes have to support the Levites? It's a nice religion. Exactly. The Levites didn't get any land. So where do you? How do you make a living? In farming community. Now, for me, I'd rather have the land. Do you understand that? You know, I can depend on the land. When you're a Levite, you had to depend on the people. How did that work out? Well, all through the Old Testament, you're going to find, especially when you get to Nehemiah and Malachi, which were written at the same time. Everybody listen. Nehemiah and Malachi were written at the same time, just like Haggai and Zechariah were written at the same time as Ezra. You're going to hear the priests have fled to the country to take care of their fields, and they have abandoned the service of God because people aren't tithing. So when you hear of a pastor that works a part-time job or a full-time job in order to support himself, you have a group of Christians that something's wrong. I think. Now, there are people who differ with me. Let's read the text. Now, Frenchie, did you hear what your daughter said? Yes. The Levites had to be supported because they didn't inherit. All right, Numbers 18. And the Lord said unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land. Neither shall thou... By the way, if you need notes, are there no notes back there? Wow, every week we put out 15 more. Okay, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land. Neither shalt thou have any part among them. Here. I have my notes here. I am thy part in thy inheritance among the children of Israel. Verse 21. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth of Israel for an inheritance. For their what? Which they serve. Even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Deuteronomy 12 says, take heed to thyself that thou forsake not the Levite as long as thou livest upon the earth. Numbers 10. And we cast the lots among the priests, the Levites, and the people for the wood offering to bring it into the house of our God. And after the houses of our fathers, at times appointed year by year, to burn upon the altar of the Lord our God, as it is written in the law. Verse 35. And to bring the first fruits of the ground, and of the first fruits of all the trees, year by year, unto the house of the Lord. Also the firstborn of all our sons and of our cattle, as it is written in the law. And the firstlings of our herds and of our flocks, to bring to the house of our God, and to the priest that minister in the house of our God. Verse 37, and that we bring the first fruits of our dough and of our offerings and the first and the fruit of all manner of trees, of wine, of oil, unto the priests, to the chambers of the house of our God, and the tithes of our ground unto the Levites, that the same Levites might have the tithes in all the cities of our tillage. Verse 38, and the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites take tithes. We're going to go down to verse 43 of chapter 12. I'm going to say something, and since Frenchie didn't know the basis of this, I'm going to assume many of you haven't read the Bible enough to know the basics, okay? You're going to read in the Bible, if you actually read the Bible and have questions, that the Levites were to receive 10%. Sometimes it seems to indicate there was another tithe. But the other tithe simply had to do with this subset. Meaning, it didn't just go to the Levites and the high priest got excluded. The Levites made sure they got theirs also is the idea, okay? I actually heard a preacher say there's three tithes and you need to give 33% of your money to church. Now, he didn't, but he thought people should. By the way, there's lots of ways of manipulating ignorant people, meaning people who don't know. So I'm going to be honest with you. 10% was for the Levites, and then they split off for the subset, the Kohanim, which would be, this is just singular here, but Kohanim. All right, Numbers 12. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also... And the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. And at that time were some appointed over the chambers for the treasures, for the offering, for the first fruits, for the tithes to gather into them out of the fields of the cities, the portions of the law for the priest and Levites. For Judah rejoiced for the priest and for the Levites that waited. So there was something very, in my way of thinking, rather beautiful about this. Now, here's where I run into a rub, because my notes might not be exactly organized like they are on the final piece of paper. I ask a question, I think. So let's take a breath, step back. Frenchie, I'm going to speak to Frenchie because there's people in this room that have been in church their whole life and still don't know anything in the Bible. It's good when you check in to church. Learn something. The average person who doesn't believe in tithing is immediately going to say something. What are they going to say? Rondi can tell us. Thank you. That's the first thing they're going to say. That's Old Testament. Implying what, Rhonda? I don't have to tithe. That is correct. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mike. Mike added the other layer. We're under grace. No. It starts with, that's the Old Testament, and we're in the New Testament. And by the way, we're under grace. And for simple people who don't think very well, that's all you need. We're under grace. So what's your thought about that? At least for a while you gave everything. By the way, I always tell people, which do you prefer, 100% or 10%? Which do you want? Now, I don't think you can do that very often, and I don't think we know a lot about the details of that, because you can only do that once. Seemed like they did it twice, so I don't know what all that means. Go ahead.
Sapphira. They didn't give 100%, they got killed by God.
Yeah. But it wasn't because they didn't give the 100%. It's because they said they did. They never learned what we learned last week. Look at me. If you're going to give, don't let your... So you shouldn't even keep records. So you can't go to somebody and say, do you know what I gave? Because you don't remember. It's not what Christianity's about, I hope. Yeah. We're under grace. That's a pretty obvious one, isn't it? We're under grace. So what I want to do is, I'm going to do the impossible. I'm going to try to give you some logic from the Scripture. But it does require, by the way, it requires you to do more than simply say, we're under grace. That's Old Testament. By the way, there are things in the Old Testament we don't do. What don't we do from the Old Testament? Of course not. Why? I think that was fulfilled in Christ, yes? There are some things we don't do with the civil law. There's three portions of the law. There's the moral law, Ten Commandments. I think most of those are pretty universal. Civil law is the Ten Commandments applied to Israel. Some of those laws we don't do. We don't burn witches. Wait a minute. Yes, we did, didn't we? Why? Why, Frenchie? No. Theologically, why? Why did they burn witches? Because they did not see a church being distinct from the state. They were trying to recreate Israel in the Old Testament, our forefathers. Therefore, the church and the state were one, and if you disobeyed God, you disobeyed the state. And there are penalties in the Old Testament for Israel as a nation that if you were a witch... Burn them! You got it? By the way, you have to remember, we are in the New Testament age. We're not in the Old Testament exactly. What I want to do is show you some, I want to read some verses first, if you don't mind. Actually, I think I'll have Dada read them. You have them in your notes, 1 Corinthians 9. Start reading those verses, and then you tell me what they mean. Go ahead, Dada. Okay? Anybody have any great insight? Minimally, what's that teach you? Well, let's start with the first verse. What is he using in the first verse? The Old Testament. And he's drawing a what? An analogy to? Yes. So this little glib thing that you learned in your dispensational church, and we are dispensational, but this glib reply to everything you don't like, that's Old Testament, is just a lie. God hasn't changed. Paul demonstrates. So let's do it again. Let's read the first verse again, Dada. So do you know that? How did the Levites live? How did the priests live? From the tithes. Yes. 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 But I don't want to get to that particular level. They could also take too much. I think there were a couple of brothers, if I'm not mistaken, that God killed for doing that. Yeah, there was, yes, there's always the filthy lucre type. All right, and the second line basically does what? The second line, folks, don't miss the thinking. It applies the Old Testament to the New Testament. Dada, read it. No, even, oh, go ahead and read it all. Okay. So I think we pretty much say there's a parallel between Old and New Testament. Are you hearing that or not hearing that? By the way, folks, this is your thinking, not mine. Now, if there's somebody here that, you know, you have a cliche for everything, well, we're under grace, we're not under the law. First of all, you don't even know what the passage means. You just quote it because it eliminates some of us from having to obey, sad to say. All right, Pastor Dada, verse 17 and 18. Now, I don't particularly like verse 18 because it compares a pastor to an ox. I would prefer to be compared to something nicer. But verse 15 says, let the elders, and the elders would be what, Frenchie? Frenchie. An elder is also a what? And? Well, that's pastor, that's the same. And we would be an overseer. The King James mistranslates bishop. Overseer, I can't even write. Overseer. Okay, so let the elders, how many does it apply? You got one per church? Yeah, the Bible doesn't get into this bishop thing where you got one pastor that runs the show. It's always multiple elders. Let the elders who rule well be worthy of what? And double honor doesn't mean you bow to them twice. I can see it now. Atong Pagong's back here thinking, I got it now. He's going to come up to me after the service, and he will do mono twice, and he says, I done it. What's honor mean? Well, honor means the same thing it means in 1 Timothy 5:3. Let the widows who are widows, honor widows who are widows indeed. And that doesn't mean you bow to the widows. It means you take care of them. Yes. So does that mean some pastors should get double pay? I'm not holding my breath on that one, okay? I actually think that's what it means, Rhonda. And then it says, especially they who do what? If I wouldn't, first of all, I wouldn't go to a church where the pastor didn't study. But may I say this, most Christians are okay with that. Don't even act like they know the difference. You know what I call popcorn preachers? You know, you hear the same sermon every time you hear them, whatever text it is, and they just popcorn. And when everybody gets done, everybody's happy because you didn't get confronted about anything. You just popcorn. It's nice, though. But now, what's verse 18 then? What's the first word of verse 18? And what's that mean? Yeah, he's giving the basis for why we do this with elder, pastor, overseers. So why do we do this? And then he gives us to what? To what? I heard somebody. Two verses. And where are those verses from? Well, no. One of them is. Actually, folks, verse 18 is rather important. I don't have time to talk about this long, but notice what it says. For the what says, Seth? Actually, this is a very important theological verse about the status of the New Testament, because we knew that Jesus and the apostles thought that Deuteronomy was Scripture, but Paul is saying when he wrote this book, Luke was Scripture. Hello? I think. He says the Scripture saith. Then he quotes more or less Deuteronomy 25:4, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. And what is the idea? What's it even talking about there? Well, in this case, the ox would be probably grinding grain. And guess what the ox would eat? From the grain it was grinding is the idea. You wouldn't starve the ox to death. Otherwise, who grinds the grain? Now, I don't know what analogy I prefer. I don't like to be compared to an ox. I look like an ox, but it doesn't make me feel good. The next one says, by the way, the next one comes from Jesus. Luke 10:7, for the labor is worthy of his hire. And Paul is referencing that. The labor is worthy of his reward or hire. Same idea. Okay? Galatians 6:6, everybody find that? We'll come back to the ideas before the verses or after the verses? Okay, well, we'll come back to the ideas. You should be knowing now. When I come here next Sunday, we should be able to walk right through this, because look at me, friend. Too many of us, we live our lives on ways of getting out of things. Hey, I'm not under the Old Testament. I'm under grace. What's that mean? Paul has taught in two places. Both places, he quotes what? The Old Testament that you're not under? Well, not exactly under the Old Testament. We agree with that. There's elements of change. It's different, friend, in some ways. But that doesn't mean the Old Testament doesn't mean God is like one God in the Old Testament and another God in the New Testament. It just means things change from the way he worked his will out for a nation and the way he works it out for churches. A little different. This passage here is very important for the two Greek words. You do not have to read Greek to know this or to learn this. Let him that is taught. Anybody have any idea what we get from that funny Greek word? That is the word we get catechism from. Catechumenos. And what is a catechism? Is that of the devil? It's all according to what kind of church you've been part of. Catechism, Atong, you know, did you have them in the Catholic Church? Or did you go to a Catholic Church? So you're one of the few that didn't. What is a catechism, Frenchie?
It was a thing that they used to teach young children.
And how did they teach them?
By rote.
Okay, but how? Question, answer. Actually, Christians have always done this. It was basic learning. And I like catechisms. I would recommend you look at the Westminster Catechism. I would recommend, if you don't know what that is, look at Spurgeon's Catechism. It's quite nice. You say, is it memorization by rote? May I say this? It's okay to know. Somebody preached on this recently. It's okay, actually, to know some things. May I say this? By rote. That's what it does. It answers questions like, what's a Trinity? See, I used to think catechisms were bad because I grew up Baptist and we're against anything. Then I realized Baptists use catechisms. It's just modern American Baptists who don't. I'm not going to preach on that. I just want you to see it. By the way, it uses the same Greek word twice. You don't mind if I say that, do you? He says, let him that is taught, the one that has been catechized in the word, communicate, which is the word koineto, which means to share, to have in common, unto him that... That's the other form, the one that does the catechizing. in all good things. So we're going to look at some basic concepts. By the way, folks, yes, this is requires thought as opposed to filling in notes. Now, what does the New Testament teach? First of all, it teaches pastors are to be supported. I mean, I think that's straightforward. They are to be supported. Now, it also teaches two other things. And it teaches those two other things really in both passages, both in 1 Corinthians 9, 13 and 14, and 1 Timothy 5, is this. And I can write these out. We are to be supported for the work, which makes sense. I mean, when you have a job, you're paid for the work that you do. Is that correct? And if you don't work... No. If you don't work, you don't eat. Same for pastors. I can still remember going to my sister's church that she went to for 15 minutes down by Springfield, and the pastor got up on Sunday morning and said, "Well, I didn't have a lot of time to prepare my sermon yesterday. I was watching the football game." He was working, watching other football games. But most Christians wouldn't know the difference. You wouldn't know the difference what you get here and what you get other places. Folks, some people actually work. You're supported for the work, and then the most important thing, you're supported from the work. So when you look back at your verses, wherever they are in your notes, in chapter 9, verse 14 of 1 Corinthians, "Even so, just like those who minister of holy things in the temple, just like those who wait or serve at the altar, in the exact same way," got the logic, "even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live out of the gospel." 1 Timothy 5, verse 17, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." That focuses more on the four, and 1 Corinthians 9 focuses more on the from. But we are to be supported for the work that we do and from the work that we do. That is the idea. Questions so far? Now, can I ask you something? If somebody talks to you about this, do you have the ability to actually have a conversation with them? Yes or no? I'm just trying to lay out logic. It's just straightforward. Why are pastors supported? For their work. And how? From their work. These probably answer two questions. Why and how? Would you say that's true? Why? For their work. How? From their work. Now we come to the fourth concept that I think is in your notes. And this is just the way it is, folks. The New Testament nowhere states how these funds are to be found or how they are to be raised. The strange thing is the New Testament never tells us how to do so. So it tells you these three are very obvious in Scripture. Pastor, elder, overseers are to be supported for their work and from their work, but it doesn't really ever say tithe. So you're going to have to answer some questions. Okay? We'll continue. Are you all with me so far? See, I'm actually trying to be honest. Some of you aren't used to that. The Bible, New Testament, doesn't tell you how to do this. The Old Testament, it spells it out. So, I don't know, what do I have next in your notes? So that's what we'll start with. How did churches, evangelical churches, traditionally support the ministry? That's a good question. No, I don't want somebody that... Teenagers, how did churches used to support pastors? If you go to Germany, they still support the ministry this way. If the church and the state are one, how do they support the pastors, Frenchie? Taxes, that's one way they supported them. Yes. Do you think that's a biblical way? OK, Can you find that in any place from Genesis to Revelation? You tax people in order to pay the men for the ministry. Yes or no? No, you cannot. What was the most common way among evangelicals? Boy, oh boy, some of us haven't been out much. Maybe you've never been in a church in Europe. They call them pew rentals. Mary, you're looking at me funny. You don't know what a pew rental is. We don't have pews. But Mary, may I encourage you sometime to do this? When the big guy here takes you to Europe someday, you don't even have to go to Europe, actually. You can probably go to the East Coast to the older Episcopal churches. And you walk into this Episcopal church, and in the back are the hard wooden pews. And you go way up, and they're just nothing. And then all of a sudden you get up front, and you start noticing things start looking nicer. Then you get way up front, and they have like little boxes with padded stuff, and you have it's like a box that you open a door and go in, and you have your own little cushy stuff. Guess what that meant, Mary? The wealthy people had the cushy stuff up front. Yeah, it was like season tickets. That's exactly what it was. And not only that, Mary, it also told everybody what status you had in the community. So every time you went to church, everybody knew what kind of money you made by where you sat in church. You're looking at me funny. Have you not been in churches? James. It was in colonial times. And by the way, Mary, in this church, if you sat in Fawn's chair, she'll be upset. In those, you would be escorted out. Because when you went to church, you demonstrated your status. Yes? Sure. I understand, but I'm getting at something the way evangelicals, people that say they believe the Bible, pew tax was very, look at me, pew tax was common up until the last 100 years. It came into the 1900s in the big, formal, established churches. Now, what happens if you were poor? You know, you're over here, you're a first year Christian teacher. You don't get a chair, buddy. You either stand in the back or you stood upstairs. So everybody knew whether you were wealthy or not wealthy and what your position in society was by the time you went to church. How's that make you feel? Makes you feel one in Christ, doesn't it? This was... Now, that's actually James, but yeah. I think I have in your notes from the Reformation at least to the First Great Awakening, pew rentals. Maybe it's not in the notes. Maybe I just wrote it in mine. Pew rentals is what supported the ministry, but it also supported the social order. So you knew where you were in the pecking order or where you sat in church. You can't even imagine that. Of course, in our church, some of you think the best seat is in the back because Pastor Warren can't see me back there. No, actually, I can. You know what's funny? The only person in Lake County that I never see are these two, because right over here, I never look. I don't know. I'll look to the left and see Cliffy. He's sleeping over here. But for some reason, I never turn all the way to see the. So the safest pew in the whole church is where Mike and Pam sat. So this morning is going to be a fight over those chairs. How much? How much? Yes. Those rows are going to have like 40 seats. All right. Do I have James in your notes? My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring, I mean, folks, this goes back to 1 Timothy chapter 2, a women's dress. Were you listening during that time? Why was the Bible against women wearing pearls and gold? Because of the problem. What if you didn't have money? Everybody knew you were poor. It's the same thing. There come in, so you have a guy with a gold ring. He's in really good, rich clothing. And there come a poor man in vile raiment. Folks, in this room, all of us are just middle class. Sharon Vasilovich would remind me of this regularly. Some of you have nice suits on, but frankly, nobody in this room has a nice suit on that paid $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 for. And you can tell the difference immediately between the suits. But in these days, poor people had what they had. You look at the picture of my family from the country in 1948, and they were in overalls. Overalls told you your class and where you were from. James goes on to say in verse 3, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, meaning the, you know, the party clothing, and saying to him, oh, sit thou here in a good place. Say to the poor, stand thou there. So, Zach, you're standing, buddy. Or if you get lucky, you can sit here under my footstool. I don't know what that means. I get to put my feet on you? I don't know. He says, are you not then partial in yourselves and have become judges of evil thoughts? You're judging in an evil way. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which you are called? So you have in the past basically this. You had three different ways of people, churches were supported. These were the two big ones. Among evangelicals in America, believe it or not, pew rentals were the big thing. You will see this any place on the East Coast or in the South, if they still have them. Many of them were destroyed over time for various reasons. If you go into the big old Baptist church, they'll still have it. Actually, the slaves, if they got to come to church, were upstairs. The poor were in the back, and down front, those were the wealthy people. And you think, hadn't anybody read James? No more than some of you knew about Levites not getting an inheritance. The Bible is a religious book that you do religion on Sunday, not a book that changes how we think and live. All right. I don't know what else is in your notes, but I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 5, please, real quickly. We have about 6 minutes, and I'm going to finish some things. This is not in your notes, I am sure. If you can write it in there, that's good, and if you can't, that's fine. I'll probably put it in my finished product. Everybody find it? Matthew 5 and verse 43. I'm going to have Pastor Kowak read verse 43 to verse 48. Read with him, please. Okay, these are the statements I'm going to write on the board, so you might want to write them down. As I was thinking about this long after I wrote this, and I wrote this stuff whenever Linda asked me to talk about this 3 months ago, I don't know. Then I thought I need to summarize this. So here's where we are. Okay, I'm going to concede that we're not under the law. I'm going to say we're under grace. I'm going to say tithing is Old Testament. No problem so far. Okay, no problem. Here's where it gets rough. Are you guys ready for the rough part? And you just read it. Did you just read it? The New Testament requires exactly more, not less. And how do we know that from the text? What do you more than others? If you think the old, by the way, here's the fallacy of everybody's thinking. I'm glad I'm not in the Old Testament. Man, they had so many requirements, and the New Testament's just grace. You're missing the whole point. No, the New Testament is not really in some ways different than the Old, except it focuses on matters of the heart. This must come from the heart, but it actually requires more. What do you more than others, not less than others? Exactly, Mike. That's exactly correct. So if you think somehow a Christian does less than the... You're telling me you know who Jesus is and you know what Jesus has done? Look at me. You know, and you think you're going to do less than a person in the Old Testament that looked forward with kind of fuzzy vision to what Christ was going to do? There is a fallacy that runs through Christians in America that the New Testament saint doesn't have to do much because we're New Testament. It's a lie from the beginning. And it goes back to the Acts chapter 2 stuff too. New Testament people never saw themselves as doing less. They didn't do exactly the same things. So the New Testament, and I'm going to use this word if you don't mind, requires more, not less. Next, New Testament examples. Meaning any time we find people in the New Testament giving, anytime we find people in the New Testament giving, look at me in the eyes, are they giving less or more than 10%? Shucks, I'm going to go back to the Old Testament. I just want to be an old, I don't want to be under grace anymore. Yes, New Testament examples are always more and not less. And if you want to read that, it's Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 5. So if you walk away saying, I'm not under the Old Testament, I'm thinking, I think I'd rather be. It's just 10%. Don't have to deal with this. Lastly, both Old Testament and New Testament, and I will demonstrate this in future weeks, please don't play this game of the Old Testament is law and the New Testament's grace. You're misreading some text horribly. You don't have time to deal with it. But frankly, both Old and New Testament are about grace and love. I don't find any difference. I think Jesus said, let's see if I can get Frenchie on this one. When Jesus was asked, what is the great commandment? Well, the great commandment is found in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel. You know, Shema Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt, how about love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength? That comes later. By the way, going to the Old Testament and saying, oh, it's not about grace, it's not about love, is a person hadn't read it. Or you're reading it with bias. The drive and the motivation in the Old Testament from the great commandment that Jesus said is the great commandment was about loving God. So the Old Testament saints weren't, oh, I'm afraid God's going to judge me. In the New Testament, it's just grace, brother. It was grace, mercy, and God's kindness and His love for us in the Old Testament as is in the New Testament, with one exception. John chapter 1 just says, it implies the New Testament, the Old Testament was grace, and the New Testament was grace on top of grace. Just more grace. Yes, ma'am.
Are those the same people that think they're different when they're getting saved in the Old Testament?
Oftentimes. But when I say those people, you understand that's dispensationalism. I am fighting a form of dispensationalism that you see hints of in the Scofield Bible, which anybody in this room, Ron and Gail, would have been influenced by that thinking. Whether or not you bought into that thinking is not the question. You grew up on that kind of thing. I know. So did I. Where you see this immediate, and by the way, there are differences, but not of those varieties. So here's the bottom line. The New Testament doesn't tell us how to support the ministry. I think it just simply assumes. And Mike, I think you're exactly right. I think, and I don't guilt anybody out. I think we just simply assume we're going to do at least what the Old Testament saints did. Why? Because Paul didn't feel like he needed to tell you the same thing that he already told you. Look, he said, you know the people in the Old Testament that served the temple, how did they earn a living? How'd they earn a living? Answer the question. Yes. Pastors that teach in the New Testament, how do they earn a living? From the same thing, from their work and for their work. Same concepts. So in my way of thinking, the tithe is the Lord's and it's for the Lord's servants and service. Questions? Jim had a question, by the way. Jim actually listened to me, and you were two people that listened to me. I'm going to turn this off. There were two people that actually heard.